In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Congratulations to everyone on the beginning of a new Coptic year. And the church reads for us today, the first Sunday of the blessed month of Tut, which is the first Coptic month, reads for us a passage from Luke 7, speaking about John the Baptist. And in this passage, he rebukes the Pharisees and the lawyers. And rebukes them because of their rejection to the message of salvation and repentance. He said to them that they rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him. So God sent John the Baptist, a forerunner, before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to prepare the people for repentance. But the Lord, when He looked at the Pharisees and the lawyers, He saw a hardness in their heart, how they rejected the message of God and the counsel of God. And He told them, what can I illustrate these people with? What can I think of that illustrates them? And He gives them an example of children playing in the marketplace. And they said that they played the flute and they didn't dance. And they mourned and they did not weep. So the children in the marketplace, when they play the flute, they typically dance around and they play. And when somebody's mourning, the children would mourn with them. But what was He saying about this, about the Pharisees? That they rejected whether they sent someone who was an ascetic like St. John the Baptist, or someone who was fasting and lived in the wilderness and so on, or someone like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who lived among them, ate and drank with them, and accepted the tax collectors. And then He ends this and He says something interesting. He says, but wisdom is justified by all her children. What does this mean? Here, actually, the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to Himself as wisdom. And as we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God the Father. And He says that He is justified by all her children. So basically, the Lord Christ will be proved correct when His children that obey Him, and the people will see. And in the last day, we will see this as well, that the people who heeded the wisdom and counsel of God will be justified, and in such, they will justify the Master. It's just like, you know, if we have a certain principle in our household, in each one of our households, we have certain rules in our household. When my child obeys my rules outside of my house, that justifies me as a parent, that I instilled in my child the fear of God and to obey his parents, even if they're not looking. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, there's a story about the Rechabites. These people didn't know God or anything, but they honored their father very much. Their father told them not to drink wine at all. So God wanted to make these Rechabites an example to the people of Israel. So He had the prophet Jeremiah tell the Rechabites to come to the house of God, to come to Jeremiah, and He commanded them to drink wine. And the people said, oh, look, watch, these Gentiles are going to drink wine because all they are drunkards and so on. But these children of the father, the Rechabites, they said, no, we're not going to drink wine because our father told us that we shouldn't drink wine. So here God was using these Rechabites to rebuke the people of Israel because they're obeying their earthly father with such diligence, even without him seeing them. And you, the people of Israel, who have the prophets and so on, are discarding God's commandments. I think if there's one thing that is needed in this world, and all of us need, myself being the first, is this wisdom. Wisdom is justified by her children. I'd like to speak with you all this week and next week, God willing, about wisdom. We'll speak about what is wisdom. We'll try to come up with an idea. Why should we be concerned about obtaining wisdom? Why should I even care about it? How do I acquire wisdom? And finally, how do I practice wisdom? Question number one is, what is wisdom? This is like one of those things when I was researching, as I was thinking, it's very difficult to come up with one definition of wisdom. Many people think of wisdom in a different way. But I think I can say two things or three things about what wisdom is. But before I say about wisdom, we have to understand two other terms besides wisdom: knowledge and understanding, because the Bible speaks about both of those, and sometimes wisdom will be synonymous with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge, we can say, are the facts of life, the things we know, the facts. This is knowledge. For example, the facts of life is you reap what you sow. I sow evil, I will reap evil. It's the fact of life. This is knowledge. Okay? Understanding is the application of the knowledge, or the ability to translate it into something meaningful. We might have the knowledge, but we are unable to translate it. You know what this is like? This is like somebody saying, I can read Coptic, but I have no idea what it means. So here we have the knowledge to read, but we don't have the understanding to apply what we read to our life. So what is wisdom then? Wisdom is knowing or applying both the knowledge and understanding in the choices that we make and in the circumstances that we meet. So it's this translation of what we know and understand. Some also say that wisdom is synonymous with discernment. And I think this is true, because wisdom will not only tell us or give us the ability to distinguish between what is right and wrong, but it will give us the ability to determine what is primary and what is secondary. What are the things in our life that should go first and should go second? Maybe these two things are both good, but which should go first and which should go second? Wisdom will tell us what is essential and what is indifferent. What is the thing that is essential in my life and that I need to focus my attention on? And what is something that's trivial or indifferent that doesn't require me to spend and focus so much time on? Some of us might spend so much time on things that are indifferent without paying much attention to the things that are essential in our life. And finally, wisdom will give us the ability to distinguish the permanent from the transient, the things that last forever and the things that pass away. Wisdom tells us that our soul, our spirit, is everlasting. And wisdom will also tell us to invest in the things that are everlasting rather than things that are transient, like the things that the world has to offer, whether it be money or possessions, popularity, and so on. So I think this is the common understanding of wisdom, and this is what we'll focus on. But also, wisdom in Scripture can also be defined as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Christ personifies wisdom. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, St. Paul says that Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he himself is wise. He is the source of all wisdom. And we can say also that the church itself is the house of wisdom. Certainly, if the church is the house of God, the church is also the house of wisdom. Listen what Solomon the Wise says in the book of Proverbs. And here he's alluding to the church, and we can gather that from the text. He says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Where is here, Solomon? What are you speaking about? As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Eat of the bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Where do we see that? On the altar, in the church. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church itself is the house of wisdom, the place where we can turn to acquire wisdom. So why should I be concerned or interested about acquiring wisdom? Why should I even put forth the effort? A couple of reasons. Reason number one, it provides us protection. It provides us protection. Protection from what? The book of Proverbs tells us again, a wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man departs from evil. So wisdom will protect us from the evil that is around us. It'll protect us from voluntarily or going into dangerous situations. Things that could be dangerous, I'm not speaking here particularly physically. Yes, this is one aspect, but also spiritually. Going places that are dangerous for my spiritual health. From harmful circumstances, both physically and spiritually, and from destructive circumstances. Wisdom will tell me that if I see fire, I don't touch it. Wisdom will also tell me if I know that I'm weak in a particular sin, I don't touch it. I don't come near it. Unfortunately, sometimes when we lack wisdom, we think we can overcome a weakness or a weakness that I have if I'm in company with other people. But no, my beloved, wisdom will tell us that we see fire and we flee. As again Solomon the Wise tells us, no one can take fire and put it in his bosom and not get burned. We have to be very cautious that we don't lead ourselves into temptation by our choices and decisions. Wisdom also can protect us from being misled by our emotions. Listen again in the book of Proverbs 28, he says what? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart, typically the heart in the Bible speaks about the emotions or resembles the emotions. So when I understand and I have wisdom, this will help me from being fooled by my own emotions. Unfortunately, the society we live in teaches us the opposite. Teaches us, do what feels good to you. Here it's built upon what? Do what is emotionally satisfactory to you. And this will give you happiness. But as we look around us, this doesn't give us happiness. Actually, it's false. It gives us more grief. But wisdom tells us, or wisdom protects us from our emotions getting the better of us. Also, acquiring wisdom is important because it carries eternal implications. Meaning what? That this could cause me my life if I'm not wise? Certainly. You may remember a passage or a parable that the Lord Christ spoke about the wise and unwise. Without looking at the screen, I guess it may be already up there. Right, the five wise and five foolish virgins. The five wise and the five foolish. So what happened to the five wise virgins? Mind you, they were all virgins. They were all believers. They were all living a pure life. But there was a difference between the wise and the foolish. The wise were ready. The wise were prepared. They had the oil in their lamps, right? They were actively waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that's why they were called wise. The unwise had the lamp but no oil. They had the knowledge and understanding, but they had no application in the wisdom. So it says that they weren't ready. And then what happened when the bridegroom came and the door was shut? They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. He said, I never knew you. I don't know you. So acquiring wisdom can be the difference in our salvation. Oftentimes we are convinced or we convince ourselves that I can wait until such and such a time to repent and come back to God. But wisdom will tell us, is tomorrow guaranteed? No. What's guaranteed? The past? No. We can't change the past, and we can't determine the future. The only thing that's guaranteed is the here and the now. We're all here today. This is the only thing that's guaranteed. Wisdom tells us to repent now and not to wait until later. Understanding and knowing wisdom carries eternal implications. Thirdly, understanding and acquiring wisdom is the balance of virtue. Once the disciples of Saint Anthony came to him and they asked him, Father, can you tell us what is the greatest virtue? And they're all expecting and got giddy and they're going to hear about love, right? But you know what he told them? He told them wisdom. Wisdom. Because wisdom is the balance of virtue. Any virtue without wisdom can be problematic. Any virtue, mind you, the virtues are good, but virtues without wisdom can be problematic for a person's life. For example, let's take love. As parents, we all love our children and we love them dearly. But sometimes we interpret or we think that love is giving them whatever they want whenever they want it. This is an expression of love when I give my children everything they need. So too much love in this sense could lead to what? Could lead our children to become spoiled. And when children become spoiled, they have a very hard time as they get into their adult life and their adolescent life to handle any inconvenience. If they're inconvenienced, they have a problem with that. They get angry. They raise their voice. They're troubled inside if they can't raise their voice. Maybe some of us are of this, and I hope maybe this will be something that we can get us to start thinking about. Am I easily inconvenienced? Maybe I was spoiled as a child. Maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, with no offense to any of the mothers or anything, for all of the hard work we do, but sometimes our parents, or as parents, we don't allow our kids to learn responsibility. You know, we want our kids to do one thing and one thing alone without anything else. We want them to, you know, study, and that's it. But what about other responsibilities in life? Being responsible in the house. You know, if your child, you know, should be helping around the house when they become of age, when they can vacuum the house, they can wash the dishes, they can do all these things, this teaches them to be responsible. And if as a parent I say, no, خليك مرتاح, مش عارف إيه, لا, مش عايز اتعور, and yeah, I want you to focus on your studies only, then we actually do them a disservice. And when they leave the house, they find themselves like, how do I wash a dish? What do I do? Let's go get paper. And how do you vacuum the place? But we do them a disservice. So sometimes when we spoil our children or we love them, quote unquote, love them too much, this puts within them an intolerance to inconvenience, and also they're unable to carry responsibility. And on the other hand, if I love my children too little, if I'm so focused on my work and providing for them monetarily and forget their emotional needs and their spiritual needs, what happens to a child who is lacking of love is that they will seek love from anywhere or anybody that will give it to them. So our young daughters and our young boys, if they're starving for emotional love and hunger for their emotion from their parents and the affection, they'll search it from their friends outside. Whether it be, you know, they'll get into premarital relationships, boyfriends and girlfriends. They'll get involved with drugs or different clubs that promote different things. They'll just search for anybody to give them a sense of acceptance because they didn't find it at home. So love helps us balance between both the firm discipline and to show compassion. As parents, we have to be able to have this wisdom, to acquire this wisdom. When, yani, to encourage my son and show mercy and compassion, and when to be firm with them and say this is unacceptable behavior with the consequences that might be firm. Let's look at kindness and simplicity. As I was trying to think of another word in English, and this is what I came up with, kindness and simplicity, for the word tiba, واحد طيب, you know? واحد طيب, a person who's طيب. Person who's طيب can carry many definitions in Arabic. You know, he can be carried like the person who's طيب, he's very kind, he's gentle. And also the foolish person can be called طيب. بوست راجع طيب غلبان, يعني they took advantage of him. There's a person in the Bible we can say is طيب or very kind. His name was Eli the priest. Eli the priest was a very kind man. But I think his kindness got the better of him. His two sons were also priests, Hophni and Phinehas, and both of them were doing what is dishonorable in the house of God. Among many things, what they would have the people do, when the people would bring the meat offerings to God, the priest would take a fork and put it in the offering, and whatever came out was their portion. But they said, no, we're the priests. They started requiring the people to bring them a fresh piece of meat when they brought the offering. So they wanted to take advantage of, you know, the service of being a priest. They wanted to take advantage of the people and have them bring that. So when their father found out, listen to how he reacts to his children doing it. This is just the easiest thing. They did other many things that I don't want to mention on the pulpit, but they did things that were worse. But what does he say to them? He says to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. And he heard the evil that they were doing from the people. Where are you in their life? Why aren't you speaking with them? He's very tight. He says, why do I hear about this from other people? He says, no, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. Is this the response we would expect? And he may have told them this, but there was no action. There's no discipline on his part. So God said, okay, Eli, if you're not going to discipline your children, I will. The lives will be required of them and yours as well. They both ended up dying in a battle. And when Eli himself found out about it, he was so taken back that he fell off his chair, hit his head, and he also died. Kindness and simplicity needs wisdom. It doesn't mean that we allow people to take advantage of us, but at the same time, it shouldn't inhibit us from helping and having this simple heart where I can forgive easily. Lastly is, take for example, the speaking in general. Speaking is good, and it's only by speaking that you hear what I'm saying now. If I was going to take, okay, saying or controlling the tongue, if I control it, I'm a perfect man, so I'm not going to say anything to anybody anymore and just remain silent all the time. Does this work? No. There are some times, there are some instances when we need to speak. There are other instances where it's more wise to be silent. How do I know the difference? By wisdom. By wisdom. Husband and wife will argue with one another, and then they'll say, I can't get through this person. I'm going to give him the silent treatment. We all know what the silent treatment is, right? Where you don't look at them, or you don't speak to them, or you don't do anything to them until they learn their lesson. I heard a story from a priest, and I'll conclude with this, that a couple came to him, or his wife came to him, and told him, me and my husband got in an argument, and we went back and forth, and I was very upset, and I told him, if you don't change yourself, I'm going to leave the house. And he's like, fine, leave. So she said, okay, I'm leaving. She goes up and she leaves. She leaves the house. And where does she go? She goes to Abuna. She goes to Abuna and she says, Abuna, listen, this is what I told my husband. He's doing this, 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 and this. I'm going to leave. I'm not going back there. I need you to find me a place to stay. So poor Abuna is like, what do I have to do with this? So and he finds somewhere for her to stay just, you know, for a night until she can make arrangements. In her mind, she was like, I'm going to teach him a lesson, that he can't live without me. So in her mind, she's expecting after a week, he's going to come to her and beg her to come back because he can't figure out what to do with the kids, and he can't cook and keep up with his work and all of these things at the same time. A week goes by, hears nothing. 3 weeks goes by, hears nothing. A month and a half, 2 months go by, and she hears nothing. So of course, she begins to miss her children. So she goes back to Abuna with her head down. She says, Abuna, can you come with me to make up with my husband? Well, wisdom would have told you from the beginning. And sometimes we want to take actions impulsively and we don't think about what might happen afterwards. We all need wisdom. God willing, next week we'll speak about how to acquire wisdom. And if God gives us the grace, we can also speak about how to practice wisdom. If not, we'll do it the week after. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.